you. Isn't it good to be in God's house today? And appreciate God's goodness and His mercy and His grace toward us. And nobody's ever loved you and I like the Son of God. And He loves us with an everlasting love, and we appreciate who Jesus is and what He's done for every person inside of this building today, and how good He has been to all of us. And again, Pastor Charles, thank you so much for allowing us the privilege to be back with you and the church here at Temple Baptist Church and accommodations. Thank you so much for that. And it's good to have, I don't think my wife got to come with me last time. It's good to have my wife Jill with us and wave at everybody. And my father-in-law told me, said, I used to do a quartet singing group, and she always thought that I loved her daddy, and I did, and hung out with him a lot in the camp meetings and things of that nature he would go to. And she said, I just thought you just wanted to hang out with my daddy. I said, well, there's ulterior motives behind this. And so I got her brother involved and started working on her to see the light in the big picture. And so for 31 years, we've been seeing the light in the big picture. And this celebrates our week of anniversary this week coming up. And we've got, I always pick on her because she says I'm always busy during our anniversary. So this year, I'm taking her off to a preacher's meeting, to a government meeting, and that's the way we'll spend our anniversary. So we'll have a good time together. So anyway, thank you for letting us be here. And let me mention a little bit about Hearts with Hands again. Your church has been so gracious and kind to us and sending funding when we're in the middle of disasters and storms. And I want to say thank you so very much for that. A lot of times during those disasters, during those situations, you've got to have a body of believers like yourselves that are willing to help groups like us to be able to help people in times of devastation. You helped us a couple years ago when all of the storms hit in Louisiana, different locations, and then back in December when the tornadoes hit there in Kentucky. You were faithful to help us there as well. We were able to take several tractor trailer loads of supplies up to Mayfield, Kentucky area and distribute those in that area. And we're still in the process. I just got approved just a couple weeks ago and trying to work out the arrangements that we're about to get 4 tractor trailer loads of plywood. And FEMA had confiscated 100 tractor trailer loads on the border of plywood. You say, well, I thought drugs was coming across the border. Well, plywood's about as expensive as that, so I reckon they're confiscating that now. So anyway, we're picking those up down in Florida, be bringing those back to the warehouse in Asheville, and then that will let us send that to Kentucky, to Western North Carolina, to any of these places that's been devastated by these floods and the tornadoes and the storms, and begin to help them in the long-term process. They will be rebuilding for years. It's not an instantaneous situation that you snap a finger and they're back to normal. Those places will be, some of them will never come back home, number one. Number two, when they do, they will never have what they used to have. And you got to remember, that's everyone's little trinkets and toys and pictures and possessions. Everything that they had is gone. And so what an opportunity for a ministry to work with churches like yourself, us to partner together, go into those devastated areas and begin to show the love of Christ and helping people in times of storm. So we're still in the process. We have been collecting furniture for them. And down in Haywood County, where we're from, they're out of Asheville. And some of our Asheville friends wave at me right there. And so there in Haywood County, we had a probably a 1,000-year flood that hit the Pigeon River and literally devastated Crusoe's, the little community, and washed it out. When I got there, right after the flood, the water started receding. There was mobile homes stacked higher than this building on top of each other. Literally, it just washed them off their foundation. Houses washed and just literally up against trees and debris and all of those things. And lives that were uprooted. And so we've been in the process. Normally what we do is the first 4 weeks of a storm, going in, doing relief supplies such as water, non-perishable food boxes, hygiene kits, cleaning buckets, all of those things, but then doing the distribution part. But then this gives us a way long-term that we can continue to help those people that have been devastated. So we've been collecting furniture. We had a resort down east that they were remodeling, and so we picked up a tractor trailer load of appliances, furniture, bedroom suits and living room suits and kitchen tables, all of that. And we took last week, took two tractor trailer loads over to Haywood County of supplies like that. That goes into those homes as they get them rebuilt. Then that gives them furniture and appliances and things that they can get and go back in their home with. So a great opportunity to continue to be a blessing and to help the people in these days. And I know if you have been watching the news at any moment of time recently, you know the invasion of Ukraine and what's taking place there as Putin has come in and Russia has come in and begin to devastate a lot of those little communities there. We are working with a missionary that has Camp Christie. It's a youth camp right on the Romanian and Ukraine border. And we went over and helped him set up a recovery center and actually bringing those refugees out of Ukraine into there. We're feeding them and letting them have a place to sleep and then trying to give direction and where they're going to go from there. And the other day they sent me pictures, and there was several ladies. They were pulling their suitcase, all they had with them. Remember, the men had to stay back and fight. It's a war on the ground of literally back in the old days where men would fight on the ground. That's what they're doing. And so all the men from young people all the way up to elderly men stayed behind. The women and the children are leaving and escaping as much as they can and trying to get out of that. And then they're going across the border to Poland. They're going to Romania, going to any of these locations that borders Ukraine, trying to get away from danger. And because these other countries are NATO countries, Russia, their thought process is that Russia will not invade those areas and will stay out of them, and that brings safety to those children and those wives that are leaving. So the other day, they were coming across, and literally they had a suitcase in one hand, pushing a baby carriage in the other hand, and that's all the possessions they had with them. And one of the groups that came on a bus to come over to the camp to stay, the pastor that I sent over there to represent us with Hearts with Hands that helps us, he asked them a question and said, where are you going? And a lot of these Ukrainians are Ukrainian Jews. And they said, we're going home. And they said, where is home? They said, Israel. Look up, your redemption draweth nigh. And you're seeing prophecy being fulfilled right before your very eyes. And the longing that they have to go back home in the midst of discouragement and trouble and trials and difficulties. And I thought, man, wasn't that awesome? Just to get to hear that for myself, those folks saying, we're going back home. And it may be a family member there, it may be an acquaintance that they know of, but they're longing to get back home. And so you pray for those folks. They're in devastation mode for sure. We're in the process of working on a container that we'll actually send over there with supplies in it to try to help them. And so that's one of the projects we'll be working on in the next few weeks, trying to get a container load together, pay for that container, get that shipped over there, that way they can get those supplies that are needed. A lot of those supplies, it's snowing there still. It's cold. They're coming across walking in snow, walking in below sub-temperatures, and trying to get to safety in any place they can. And so pray for those folks. If that was your family, then you would want somebody praying for them. So you pray for them, and we'd appreciate it so very much. So that information is back on the table, Hearts with Hands, all of the information there, the newsletter, everything is back there. Pick that up and read about it. You've had a part in helping us, and we want to say thank you so very much. And then we've got a new endeavor that we're working on as well, our ministry, Greg Lentz Ministries. We have Greg Lentz Ministries, Hearts with Hands, and then now we had a church contact us that's had a youth camp for 32 years down on the southern part of Georgia, and it's going to be a great opportunity, and they talked to us and said, would your ministry be interested in buying this property and the youth camp? It's been in existence for 50 years total. This is their celebration year of 50 years, and they've seen a lot of young folks saved, a lot of young folks come to Christ, a lot of young folks surrender their lives to the Lord, a lot of them surrendering to full-time ministry, and one of our burdens is this generation, seeing God do something in the hearts and lives of this generation. And so I prayed about it and took the leap of faith, and we purchased that in December. And so this will be our first year that we personally held and had the camps that they've normally had in the summer. And it's called Venture of Faith Camp. It's down in Lake Park, Georgia, right on the Florida-Georgia line. And another reason that we wanted to go ahead with this property is we're only 2 hours from either side of the coastline in that area, where if a storm hits, we can have tractor trailers staged there at the camp, ready to get into those locations quicker than coming all the way from Asheville, 14 hours, 16 hours, depending on traffic, getting that to those locations. So we're asking churches to venture with us on Venture of Faith Camp to help us in the purchase of that and the remodeling. We're putting brand new bathrooms in the Tabernacle building. We've gutted that building trying to get it ready for this summer. And it'll hold 350 students and families. And so it's a pretty large youth camp, 100-acre youth camp. It's got all the facilities there, the men's dorms, the ladies' dorms, the dining hall, all of that's there, the Tabernacle building. And so we are in the process of working on that. And then we're going to start a youth conference there once a quarter for that South Georgia area, and try to get young folks in there as well, not just in the camp season, but all year long, trying to get folks together to see God do something in their lives. So that information is back there. You can get that. And we'd appreciate it if you got a youngster or a young person that is not going to camp that you're going to, and you want to send them somewhere, get the information back there. And then if you're a college student in the building and you're looking for a position this summer to spend your summer investing in the life of somebody else, then I'd love to talk to you about hiring you for the summer. We need interns that are willing to work the camp and be a part of that. So if you've got a college student that you say, man, they need a job for this summer, come see me. And we'd love to get them involved in investing in reaching and counseling and all of those things that need to be done in a camp situation. So again, thank you for allowing us the privilege to be here. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And when I was here, I think it was 2019, I believe it was, I dealt with the first part of this passage of Scripture in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. I was thinking about with what's going on in the Ukraine, what's taking place with Russia, what's happening around the world, literally, is Matthew 24 not coming to light in your eyes? There will be rumors of war. Nations shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famine, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. And we're seeing all of these things come to pass. But what's so unusual right now, we're seeing it all at the same time. And that shows you that God's timepiece and God's time frame is right on time. And when you see all of that, we understand Matthew 24 is tribulation scripture in somewhat. And we know that before we see the rapture of the church and we are going to exit out of here, then you're going to see all of that. And that's why verse number 8 of Matthew 24 said, these are the beginning of sorrows. You're watching it at the beginning stages. You're watching the heart pains and the heartbeat. And you're watching all of this come to pass. And when you see the Iron Bear of the North start raging eastward, you're seeing all of this come to pass, then you need to know you're closer than you've ever been to the imminent return of the Son of God. And the next event on the calendar of God, according to the Word of God, is the trumpet sounding. And we're going to exit out of here. And if you want to be a part of the devastation of tribulation, have at it. I'm going home. I'm going to be at the house with the Lord. And we're going to exit out of here. And so we know the scripture is being fulfilled right before our very eyes. So my question to you, in the light of the last days, in light of the confusion of state that America is in, especially right now, in the state of the condition of our land and our world, what are you going to do before Jesus comes? What will you do in the day? Will you hide out? Will you quit? Will you throw in your spiritual towel? Will you just stop and say, man, it's too tough, it's too hard, it's too difficult? Or will you say what Paul said in these verses? And I trust will be a blessing and an encouragement to you. Notice in verse number 1, I won't read all of these because you are standing, and I want to be respectful of your standing. But notice in verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. That's, again, dangerous, difficult, problematic. We're watching difficult times, depraved times, departing times, deceitful times, discouraging times. We're watching all of those come to pass right on top of each other. And you wonder, why is it more discouraging than it's ever been? Why is it tougher to read the Word of God than it's ever been? Why is it more difficult to live for Christ than it's ever been? Because Satan understands his time is short and he's battling stronger and tougher than he's ever done in our lifetime. And we're seeing things come to pass that we never thought we would ever see come to pass. And we're watching it right on the front row, so to speak, of the of prophecy and the Word of God coming together, showing you that your Bible is still alive and well this very day. So notice what it says. Not only is this perilous times, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Verse 3, without natural affection are we not there? Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. Verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. A form, a look-alike, a silhouette of what we ought to be at the house of God. It ought to be a place of power. It ought to be a place of conviction. It ought to be a place where we're seeing lives impacted for the glory of God. It ought to be a place where we're watching revival fires burn, but instead, most churches are empty, sitting empty, still, and silent, and dead right before Jesus comes. And may God encourage you today that there is a work still for the church to do, and what a time to shine for the Son of God in this hour of darkness, that this community would know there's still a lighthouse in the midst of the darkest hour, that people can still come to Christ and lives can still be impacted for the glory of God. And so when you understand all of that, what does the scripture say? Paul is here in the Mamertine prison. He's writing his last will and testament to his young son in the faith. And he said, there's going to be a day when men, in verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Are we not producing that in our colleges, in all of the smartness, so to speak, of this generation? It's like they're never coming to the knowledge of the truth. They're smarter than what their mind can conceive. And they're literally getting to the place where they're leaving God out of the picture, and they're thinking that they're smarter than God ever was or ever will be. And I've got news for you. You will never figure out how big God is, no matter what you try to compute, no matter what you try to look into scientifically or economically or any other way. You will never figure out how big your God really is. And so they're ever learning, coming to the knowledge of the truth. But notice verse number 9, they proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch. Notice this. Yea, in verse 12, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You're going to have some hard days. You're going to have some tough times. But understand, God is still on the throne in the midst of those tough times. Verse 13, but evil men, seducers, shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Are we not in those hours? So what am I going to do in the midst of an adverse society? In the midst of a day when many people believe that there is no God and they throw God out of the picture, what am I going to do when men's hearts wax worse and worse? What am I going to do as a church? What am I going to do as a people of faith? What am I going to do in the midst of an adverse society that says that God is dead and what you're doing is futile and what you're believing is crazy and you shouldn't stand for the truth any longer? The truth is falling in the street and you might as well give up hope that God can do anything in this hour that we're living in. I love what Paul said in this next verse, in verse number 14, but continue. Say that word with me, continue. Continue. I want to challenge you today, in the midst of an adverse society, continue to run the race God has placed in front of you for the glory of God. You can be seated. I want you to think about what this verse says. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Verse 5, and because of what you know, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. In these difficult days, in these discouraging days, in these defeating days, in these days when it seems like all hope is gone, what are you and I going to do in the midst of an adverse society when it looks like that everyone seemingly is turning their backs on the Lord, in the midst of a day of confusion of state and confusion of faith? In the midst of that, am I going to quit? Am I going to throw in my towel? Am I going to quit singing the Lord's song? Am I going to quit praying to a God that's still alive and well? Am I going to quit teaching and quit preaching? Or will I continue in the faith that God has placed inside of your heart and mind? And I challenge you today that we need to continue to run the race God has placed in front of us. There's no place for us to quit. No place for us to throw in our towel. No place to say it's too hard or too tough. But I want to challenge you and exhort want you this very day, continue in what God's placed in your heart. I love what Paul said. He said, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. I love that because there's been some things in my past that God has done for me that has given me assurance for my future. There's been some things in my past that God has blessed me with and has taught me and instructed me in and helped me in the day of adversity to know in the midst of my adversity that God would be faithful every step of the way and the Lord would be beside of you and I in the midst of what I'm facing. So in the midst of that, in the midst of my adversity, in the midst of that, I'm assured of that God is still alive and the Lord Jesus Christ is still on the throne and the Holy Spirit is still alive and well working. And because of those assurances, I can keep continuing in the things that God has given to you and I in these days that we're living in. That word continue, I love this. It means to persist. It means to keep on with. It means to press on. It means to push on. It means don't stop. It means I'm not giving up, and I am determined by the grace of God that in the midst of when others will quit and when others will throw in their towel and when others will stop going and stop coming, by the grace of God, let me challenge you to keep on going for the glory of God in the midst of adversity. Continue in the faith that God's placed in your heart and life. I think about to continue. Number one, continue in the way. That word way means the way of salvation. That means the way of life. That means the way that God's provided for you. Continue in that way. It's not a man's salvation. It's not a work salvation. It's freely a gift of God that God gave His only begotten Son that every person inside of this building could be redeemed by the grace of God, that we could be lifted out of despair, lifted out of despondency, and changed by God's marvelous grace. I want to challenge you today, persistently continue in the way that God placed you in, the way of salvation when He found you, the way of salvation when He saved you, the way of salvation when He forgave you, the way of salvation when He blessed you, the way of salvation when He recorded your name in glory, the way of salvation. Continue in that way. Don't walk away from it. Continue to state the fact. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was dead, but now I'm alive. And I challenge you today, don't get discouraged in the day you're living in. Continue in the way God's placed you in. Amen. Hallelujah. Continue in that way, but continue secondly in the walk God's placed you in. There is a walk of faith that every one of us are supposed to be involved in these last days. I'm supposed to walk for Christ. I'm supposed to live for Christ. I'm supposed to honor Christ. I'm supposed to represent Christ as an ambassador. I'm supposed to be an example for Christ. And you and I in this day that we're living in, continue in the walk that God placed you in. Continue to walk for Christ. Number three, continue the will of God. Continue in the will of God. Every person here, the greatest day of your life would be to find out God's will for you. I can't do God's will for you. Pastor Lawson cannot do God's will for you. It's your responsibility as a young man, a young lady, a mom, a dad, even a senior adult to find God's will and do it. I ask you to continue in the will of God. Don't get out of the will of God. Don't veer to the left or to the right. Stay in the center of God's will. That's where His protection is. That's where His blessing is. That's where His grace abides. That's where His love is extended. Stay in the center of God's will. I challenge you, if you've never found God's will for your life, you're missing it. And you're missing out. Get in the will of God. Stay in what God would have you to do. Stay in the will of God. When my son, I told you this last time I was here, when he experienced cardiac arrest, my wife was there when that was happening. He was laying dead on a court floor at 16 years of age with no life whatsoever. And I'm glad that my wife did not have to go up there and start repenting, so to speak, and go up there and say, "Oh God, please, I've not been in the will of God. I've not been right with God. I've not been where I needed to be." But I'm glad when she saw her son and my son laying on the court floor, she looked at the crowd that was in that gym that day and said, "Pray, that's my son, that God would get glory through what he's going through right now." She was praying in the will of God. And every person inside of this building, it's important to stay in the will of God. I was a youth pastor for 4.5 years and in Mount Airy, North Carolina, Andy Griffith's hometown. Can I get an amen on that? And so Barney would come riding up the road in that little sheriff's car. They had a look-alike Barney and had all the sheriffs and everybody that was the look-alikes, and that was the big thing about Mayberry and Mount Airy. There was a couple that used to run our bus routes at Temple Baptist Church where I was youth pastor at. And the dad and the mother decided they were tired of each other. And so at different places of work, they started looking to somebody else instead of their husband and their wife. Well, they had 3 teenagers in their home. Now, you listen to me for a minute. This is how serious the will of God is. They decided they want to go the way they wanted to go instead of staying in the will of God. So they started seeing other people. Left those kids to themselves, to fend for themselves. And I watched a downward spiral as a youth pastor of those 3 teenage boys start walking away from church, start walking away from the youth department, start walking away from what they knew was right. Because they saw mama and daddy do it, they thought it was okay for them to do it. And now those teenage boys that started out right, started out in church, started out in the things of God, now they won't go to church. They won't have anything to do with church. And their circumstances is what engrafted them to their decisions that they're making right now because of what their family did. It's important. You listen, it's important to stay in the will of God. My father-in-law always picked on me. He said, "If you and Jill make it the first year, you'll probably do all right." He's a man of God and study the Word of God all the time. I said, "Please pray for me." And anyway, it's been great. And I think about what if I'd have got out of the will of God. What if she'd have got out of the will? What if you would get out of the will of God? What a mess it would make in our families. And in the future state of our families and our grandchildren. That's why it's important. Everything you do, do in the aspect of staying in the center of God's perfect will. Continue in the will of God. Continue, number 4, in the work. What is that? That's the work of God. That's the work of missions. That's the work of loving people. That's the work of doing the work that God's placed you in. That's the work of God. Stay focused in the work God's placed you in. Listen, time is short. Days are numbered. And we are closer than we've ever been to the coming of the Lord. What an opportunity for us to be involved in the work of the Lord in these days. When people's hearts are telling them for fear and they're broken on every side, what an opportunity for the church of Jesus Christ to be on the front line serving God and living for Him in this day we're living in. The work of God. Be faithful in continuing the witness for God. That means I'm supposed to be an example, a light, a testimony. I'm supposed to tell others about who Jesus is and what He has done for you and what He's done for me. And every person in this building ought to be involved in the witness of your faith. You say, I don't know all the steps and I don't know all the ways and I don't know all the language. Well, just tell somebody what Jesus did for you. That's what Paul said. He said, just tell somebody else what He did for you, how He lifted you, how He changed you, how He redeemed you, how He washed your sin away. That's good enough. Just tell them what Jesus has done for you. Be a witness, a testifier. Let others see Christ inside of your life. But continue in what thou hast been assured of. If you're assured that He passed by, tell somebody else that He passed by. If you're assured of that He washed your sin away, tell somebody else that He washed your sin away. Testify. Let people know that Jesus is still real in this day of adversity that we're living in. The way, the walk, the will, the work, the witness, but the worship. I think Pastor mentioned it, or maybe it's our dear brother during Sunday school. We ought to continue in our worship to the Lord. Every day He's worthy. Every morning when your feet get out of the bed, no matter how hurting you are, He's worthy. It may be slow feet, but He's still worthy. It may be hurting, but He's still worthy. It may be problems tomorrow, but He's still worthy. Because He walks with us every step of the day and every step of the way. And because of that, I ought to get up every day and declare He is precious and He is worthy. And He's worthy of all of our praise. And I ought to worship Him and magnify Him every day. Amen. Worship. It's a missing element a lot of times in our churches today. I don't know where we got the thought process that we're supposed to be the silent bunch. I can't wait till the trumpet sounds and we're going up beside of each other. And when you see Jesus for the first time face to face, and you just, whoa, I'm going to say, I told you so. You should have got practiced up on this side. He's still worthy of our worship and our praise at the house of God. And every person inside of this building ought to stand up with holy hands and worship Him. If He's redeemed you, you ought to worship Him. If He saved you, you ought to worship Him. If He's given you life, you ought to worship Him. If He's blessed you with what you have, you ought to worship Him. If He's helped you another day, you ought to worship Him. And every day that we live ought to be spent praising and worshiping and magnifying the Son of God who gave everything for us and to us by His marvelous grace. Worship. But when you look at these verses here in Timothy, Matthew, Revelation, everything that's occurring, then we ought to be watchful. that we're looking up. When we see, I know Pastor Lawson, from the things I've looked on the website, television, things that God's allowed him to preach and teach to you. He loves prophecy. He loves the end times of what's taking place. I mean, we ought to be a people that are watchful and waiting. We know he's coming. We know we're at the last little bit of the last chapter of the book. We know that we're closer than we've ever been to the coming of the Lord. So what a time to be in love with him. What a time to be promoting him. What a time to be in verse in the conversation with him. What a time to be exalting him. What a time that we ought to have at the house of God, just looking for him, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. That every day that we get up, we're looking for the imminent return of the Son of God. And we know that this could be the hour and this could be the day. Are you ready if he were to come? We ought to continue watching. We ought to continue looking. We ought to continue waiting for the return of the Son of God. That it's not maybe he's going to come, it's when. Amen. And as you see the things that are occurring, don't get discouraged. Continue in what God's shown you. Continue in the teaching of the Word of God that's been given to you. You read the last chapter. I've read the last chapter. Guess what? I'm not going down, nor are you. We're winners either way. Amen. And no matter what comes our way tomorrow, we know who holds our tomorrow in the palm of his hand. And because of that, I can continue in what I've been assured of. And what I've been assured of, he is coming again. Glory to his name. And because of that, I want to be watching. I want to be waiting. I want to be looking. I want to be responding. I want to be witnessing. I want to be telling people. I want to be testifying of who the Lord is and what he's done for us. And every person in this building ought to be challenged at Paul's words. He said, when you see people waxing worse and worse, continue in what thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Continue. Press on. Keep on. Push on. Don't stop. I'm not going to give up. And I'm more determined than I've ever been to follow Christ in these days, because I'm more determined than I've ever been, that I'm watching his word come to life right before our very eyes. And because of that, we ought to be in awe of who he is. I'm in awe, number one, he'd save me. I'm in awe, number two, that he would let me serve him. I'm in awe that he would let me be a part of his great big business, of what he's got going on. I'm in awe of his love and his mercy and his grace and his long-suffering and his kindness and his goodness that ever follows us every day of our lives. And the church of the living God, I want to challenge you today. Stand up and continue in what God's placed in your heart. Don't you give up. Don't you quit. Don't you throw in your towel. Don't get discouraged and defeated. Look up. Your redemption is about to draw nigh. What you've been longing for, what you've been waiting for, what you've been going through is just a glass darkling in the light of eternity, and one glorious daybreak we shall see him as he is, and we'll be in the presence of our Redeemer. Praise
praising Him and glorifying Him face to face. And until that day comes, may God challenge us to continue for the glory of God. Continue. Today, continue. Tomorrow, continue. If you don't come Wednesday, continue. If you don't come this week, continue. There's no place to quit. Continue in what you've been assured of. Father, thank You for this time together. Lord, thank You for this day and Your goodness and Your mercy and grace. Lord, I pray for the next few moments or two that You would speak to hearts and lives in this building. If there's one in this place that's never trusted Christ, I pray You would speak to them. Lord, let them understand and comprehend today is the day of salvation. Lord, You made Yourself real and known to them, and no one has ever loved them like You have by giving Your life for them. Lord, all they've got to do is trust You, believe You, turn to You. And You promised You'd change their life and save them. Give them a home in heaven and face-to-face acquaintance with You will occur in a few days. So Lord, I pray that You would bless them today. Lord, if there's people in this building that saved, they know the Lord, but they've got discouraged and defeated, remind them today to continue. Continue the walk that God, You placed them in. Stay in the will of God. Do the work of God. Continue to worship Him. All of those things. God, would You help them and remind them? Lord, I pray that You'd give us a face in our eyes and a face in our vision of somebody that's lost in our family and our friends and acquaintance circle of life. God, that You would help us in these last days to be a witness to and to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, don't let us go home empty-handed. And let all of these masses die around us lost. But God challenged the church today to continue to witness. There's more people lost than there's ever been. There's more people out of the will of God than there's ever been. There's more people discouraged, despondent than it's ever been. Lord, help us to be the light, the shine in this dark society. And Lord, we'll give You glory and honor and praise for who You are and what You do. With every head bowed and every eye closed, in just a moment, I always, as an evangelist, want to give an opportunity for somebody to come. But I wonder how many in this building would be honest. Preacher, I know the Lord. I know that I'm saved. I know there's been a time and a place in my life where I met Jesus. And there's no doubt about it. I'm a Christian, and I'm not ashamed of it. If you know that, would you just lift up that hand as a testimony to that very fact and wave it toward the Lord today? God bless you all over this building. You can put it down. I may be honest and say, Preacher, I couldn't lift my hand just then. I'm just not sure that I'm a Christian. I think I understood what you were saying today, and I really listened intently. And I've got to be honest, I'm not sure if I died this very moment, heaven would be my home, and I'm not sure that I've ever asked Jesus to come into my heart and change my life. And I want you to pray for me. I don't want to die lost, and I don't want to die the way I am right now. I need the Lord to change my life today. Will there be somebody just lift up that hand to say, Preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Somebody else will just be honest enough just to lift that hand up and say, Preacher, pray for me today. I'm just not sure that I'm a Christian, but I'm concerned enough. I want you to pray for me. Somebody else just lift up that hand and say, Preacher, pray for me. God bless you. God bless you. I wonder, with every head bowed and every eye closed, you that lifted your hand, you're not sure that you know the Lord. Would you look right here at me for just a moment? Everybody that lifted their hand, they're not sure. Just look right here at me for just a moment. Jesus died for you. He gave His life for you. He He willingly laid everything down that you could have life and have it more abundantly. And He promised that if you would come to Him and you would ask Him to forgive you of your sin and come into your heart and save you and change your life, you know what He promised? He promised He would, and He will. The greatest thing that you could ever do is take that step of faith. And you say, why do you ask people to come publicly? Because Christ died publicly. He gave His life publicly. And all He's asked us to do is just come and receive Him. And if we'll do that, guess what? He promised He would change our life. He would save us. And it would be the greatest day of our life. What about that? That Jesus would wipe our sin away and give me a brand new slate and a brand new life. He promised He would do it. I want to ask you in just a moment, when they begin to sing this verse of invitation, it's going to take courage. It's going to take some grit. But I want to ask you, would you step out of that seat and come and let somebody take the Scripture? Not their thoughts, but the Scripture, and show you today how you could know the Lord as your Savior? Would you do that? Would you do that? Young lady, would you do that? Would you do that? Let somebody take the Word of God and show you today the greatest choice that you could ever make is saying yes to Jesus. Don't be ashamed of Jesus stopping by your chair where you're at. That just means He loves you. He cares for you. He gave it all for you. And if you were the only one He died for, He died for you. That's how much He loves you. So I want to ask you, with us standing all over this building, all over the building, let's stand. They're going to sing a verse of invitation. I want to ask you that are not sure of your salvation, would you step out and come? If you'll step out, somebody will come with you. Somebody will come with you. And I need some prayer help down here. You just come right here, buddy.
Wandered far away from God.
Now need some more prayer help.
I'm coming.
Right there, we'll get some ladies to deal with
you. A pass of sin, too long I've tried. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home. Coming home. Open wide thine arms of love.
You let wash your
Lord, I'm coming
home.
I've wasted many precious years.
Come all the way from North Carolina to get saved.
Woo!
Hallelujah. Amen.
I now.
That's a good journey.
With bitter tears.
Hallelujah.
Lord, I'm coming home.
Somebody else needs to come. You come on.
Coming home.
Somebody else needs to come. You come on. You say, preacher, I'm just not where I need to be as a Christian. Won't you step out and come? Won't you leave this place more determined than you've ever been to live for God? And to honor the Lord. Won't you come? Won't you step out and come? That's right, you just step out and come. There's others coming. That's right, there's others coming.
Just
kneel right there and we'll get somebody to pray with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I like it when Jesus gets in the house. Hallelujah. You step out and come. God's speaking to you. You step out and come. Amen. Bless Him, Jesus. Oh, God, touch him. Touch him, Lord. You just mind the Lord. Keep coming. Amen. Bless his holy name. You're witnessing people being born into the family of God. Oh, bless his holy name. I never want to get over it. It's just like it just happened to me. Hallelujah. Sing another verse, you just mind God.
I've tired of sin and straying, Lord. Now I'm coming home. I'll trust thy love, believe thy word. Lord, I'm coming home.
Others still being dealt with. Elvis is 35 years of age from North Carolina. Ask Jesus to come into his heart today.
Amen.
Amen. How many's going to be praying for him? And wave at me all over the building. You're going to be praying for him. And ask your new brothers and sisters. Amen. They're going to be praying for you. And you see me afterwards. I'll make sure you know where I'm at. Okay? Amen. All right. And then it's Nate, Nicholas. At 17, asked Jesus to come in his heart today. Amen. And we want to encourage them. And then I think this young lady's asking the Lord into her heart too. So we praise God for that. And don't you love seeing God do something and the Lord working in our services? And I'm glad that I got to come from North Carolina and be here this morning. I love you, buddy. We'll be praying for you. And praise God for who he is and what he's done. And, amen.
Jamie Nelson. know now for certain this morning that you're born.
Hey, I like that. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Are you glad you came today?
Yes.
Amen. Wonderful, wonderful. Jill, if you'll go on back. And yes, Lord. Yes, God. Amen. Hallelujah. I like it when the big preacher shows up. I'm going to the back, but I don't know if I'll leave yet. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Amen. Holy Ghost in here this morning now, folks, and people started getting saved. Yeah, that's his grandson standing there next to him. No wonder he got all tore up this morning. Amen. So we had two saved, and this lady got the assurance, and may very well have been today that she got saved. A spiritual thing like that sometimes is not something you just put down on a piece of paper. Nicholas, do you have anything you want to say?
I just appreciate all the support and help that y'all have given me.
Yeah.
Over the years.
Oh, yeah.
And really take consideration for the day.
God bless you.
Amen.
Amen. All right. A young man from Asheville, North Carolina. It's quite a thing here. This brother's from Asheville, and he's going to be able to communicate with him when he goes back home. Right here. Did you get saved today? Have anything you want to say?
It was heartwarming to see my brothers and sisters praying for me. Like, I never had such a big group of support.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone, for supporting me.
Yes. Amen. By the lady came down and prayed. Where did she go to? Yes. You have anything you want to say? Hallelujah. That's right. Praise the Son. Amen. Would the three of you come down to the front? We want to come by and bump elbows with you or whatever. And let you know we're praying for you. It's a big deal. And let them know that, you know, pray for them. I mean, they've entered into the kingdom of God today. And that's not physical. It's a spiritual thing, but the spiritual thing will change their lives profoundly. Y'all come down the front. Nicholas, what is your name?
Elvis.
Elvis? That's easy to remember. Good night. All right, Elvis. Stand down there in the front with him. And this lady right over here. And y'all turn around and we'll face the congregation. And they're going to come by. And let you know they appreciate you being here. And they're going to pray for you. This is an old-fashioned type thing we're doing here. And I like old-fashioned things. And we're going to pray and let you go. Remember, we're going to have a couple of men at the back door. Need to get them back there. Take up an offering for this brother. He's ministered spiritual things to you. The Bible said return with carnal things. Amen. Preach the gospel. Live with the gospel. All right. Let's pray. God bless every one of you now. Brother Miller, dismiss us, please.